All right, good morning, everybody. I want to give you ample time to pray this morning. That's code for this may be short. let's turn to Romans 12, familiar passage. Oh, man, but it is good to be up in the morning and be with the Lord. It's good to give Him our first fruits. Romans 12.
I have no idea if we're going to have praise, but
Romans 12, and I just want to share just one verse, verse 2. We know it well. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'll read it again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Obviously, we know that the world is very evil and wicked. We know that if we allow ourselves to be molded by the world, our lives will be so different as opposed to being molded by Christ. We as people don't realize, but we are easily molded by our environment. We're easily molded by the people that love us. We're easily molded in general. And so it's so fascinating to raise a child and trying to have him molded into the image of Christ, because he naturally follows his friends. Or Elijah's still young, so I don't know if they qualify as friends, but they are his friends. And it's so funny to see him move from different groups of kids to different groups of kids, and he'll pick up something new from hanging out with different groups of kids. You know, he'll hang out with this one group, and then he'll come home and he'll do something that we've never seen before, and it's quite funny and quite cute, and we like it. And then he'll hang out with a different group of kids, and then he'll do something that we don't like, and so in the back of our minds, we're like, oh, we don't want him to hang out with that group of kids. We want you to hang out with this group of kids, and that's just natural. But the point is, it's so easy to be easily moldable. It's so easy to be molded by your environment. And for many of us, we spend, you know, most of our lives in our workplaces, and we're molded by the worldview of just our jobs, just the people that we work with. We're just molded by that. And here Scripture is being very clear. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. And as Pastor Sam mentioned, I believe yesterday in EMP, it's so amazing to see that we're that we come from a worldly mindset, and it takes a while for us to realize that we still think in a worldly mindset. But there are two imperatives here. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word transformed, it doesn't mean just changed. It means a radical, complete, total change. This word transformed is not just, oh, you know, I my life is going poorly, so I need to do some incremental change. It means a total overhaul, a total remodeling, a total renovation. And so if God is asking us to be totally remodeled, totally changed, you've got to understand something about remodeling and renovation. It takes longer than cosmetic change. It takes more money, it takes more effort, it takes more energy. It's going to be messy. As you look at 1.5, and if you've been here when the Vine Church was here, you know that we did a total renovation, a total change. And it took longer than usual. It takes more money than we thought. And it's going to be messy. I remember coming here, I looked at some pictures back when we had EMP in here, before this was different, and there's ladders and dust, and there's, you know, equipment all over the place. There's, you know, building material all over the place. It's quite messy. And one thing that you also have to understand during a renovation or remodeling, when you're going through this mess, you're going to question yourself, so why am I doing this again? You're going to ask yourself, Is this really worth it? Because you're in the middle of a mess. And transformation, in the process of transformation, you're going to be in the middle of a mess. And as you're being transformed, you're going to ask yourself, is this worth it? And you're going to question along the way, why did I even start this project? But that's what transformation is. Transformation is messy because you've got to get rid of the old and bring in something new. And in order to get rid of the old, it's going to take, it's going to be challenging. And along the way of change and transformation, you're going to experience pain, right? It'd be awesome to be pregnant with a child and not experience any pain along the way. But there's a life growing inside of you. And along with the change and the transformation to your body, there is going to be some pain. I think of an example of a piece of pottery in the hands of a potter, and it has to go through this spin wheel in order for it to be completed. And as people, just imagine yourselves being on the spin wheel, feeling like your life is out of control, spinning out of control. But as the potter holds his hands, as you are spinning out of the control, he begins to mold you and change you to exactly how he wants it to be. As a piece of clay on the potter's wheel going out of control, we have no way to control what we're going to look like, but we just have to trust that the potter knows what he's doing. And so here is the word transformation. And it would be hard to argue against the fact that we all agree that we need to be transformed, that we need to change. On a big macro societal level, we look at countries like North Korea, and there would be no argument from anyone that, yeah, that country, that society needs not just cosmetic change. They don't need just one extra grain of rice. They need a total rehaul. They need a total transformation of that society. And as we look at some examples in our world, of there'd be no argument that the iPhone and the iPad have transformed computing, transformed mobile devices. It's not just incremental change, but something that totally changes the way we think, the way we operate, the way we do things. And that's what God is asking us to do with our lives. Not just something that's incrementally different, but something that totally changes the way we think, the way we operate, and the way we do things. God is not looking just to rearrange your life. He's looking to exchange it totally. This word transformation means to exchange one life for another. I think a lot of us, we go through church and dramatic pause. I think we go through life wanting to do some cosmetic surgery because we're unhappy with our life. And I mean that figuratively. We want to do things superficially in hopings to bring us lasting change. But God is not looking for superficial cosmetic surgery. He wants to exchange our life totally. And so now he asks us to transform ourselves by the renewing of our mind. Let's just wait a second. I think that's the AC. And so, transform by the renewing of your mind. I think we forget that. We forget the phrase, as Pastor Sophia was mentioned on Sunday, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We do a really good job of loving the Lord our God with our heart, right? We have passion. We do a really good job of loving the Lord with our soul, you know, our emotions. But I think we do a poor job of loving the Lord our God with our mind. And we cannot separate that. You know, you can't take that part of Scripture away and just focus on just the passion and just the heart. You've got to change your mind. You've got to love the Lord your God with your mind. You've got to have this this ability with your mind. And so it's interesting. It says be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not your heart. Of course, the heart, changing of the heart, is what God desires. He wants us to change our attitudes. But you notice how the songs that we sing have nothing to do with renewing our mind, right? There's no song that says change our heart, change our minds, oh God, make my mind ever true. It's always change our heart. Lord, I give you my mind. You don't find those kinds of songs. It's always, Lord, I give you my heart. But here, Romans 12:2 is talking about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because your mind is where your attitudes start. You've got to know that your decisions determine your future. Your decisions determine the path that you are in life. Your thoughts, your decisions determine your behavior. I know Pastor Sam has said it so many times that it's not about behavior modification, but it's about inner transformation. And that comes from the starting point of your mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, so as a man thinks in his heart, he is. It says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that, and here's the reason, and here's what is really important for us as believers, so that you may prove what the will of God is. So that you may prove what the will of God is. The reason why you want to transform your mind, to renew your mind, is so that you may know and prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. I think the cry of our hearts so many times is, God, what is your will? What do you want me to do? And so we're faced with a decision that we have to make. And we come to morning prayer and we ask God, God, what is your will? What do you want me to do? Well, can I help you this morning? What you need to do is to transform your mind by renewing your mind. And this is so important because we make decisions and we want to know the will of God. And we can make life so much easier for ourselves if our mind is renewed. I know a guy, I know someone who makes decisions so easily. And those same decisions, it takes me, you know, so much time and so much worry and fear. And you know, I like to analyze things. I like to do a cost benefit analysis, you know, do a pros and cons and weigh the factors, good and bad. I like to do that. But the reason this guy I know makes decisions easily is because his mind is transformed and renewed by Scripture. And so when it comes down to making a decision, he says yes or no simply. And I ask him, well, why did you decide that? Because the Bible said so. Because the Bible said so. It's so easy for us to rationalize our decisions, even though the decisions may be bad or immoral or against God's will. I want you to think about this. Anytime you say, it's no big deal, and you try to rationalize your decision away, you may be hesitant. You may wonder, is this a good decision, bad decision? Is this the will of God, not the will of God? You know, maybe in something very small. When you find yourself saying, it's no big deal, you've got to ask yourself, is that the will of God? Oh, it's no big deal. Well, it must be some sort of deal, even if it's tiny, for you to even think, well, it's no big deal. A petty example might be, should I take my coworker's, you know, pen out of his desk drawer because I need one? Ah, it's no big deal. No big deal. But then if you analyze that and think about it, well, in your consciousness, you think, okay, well, I'm taking it without asking his permission. That's just not right, you know. But in the big picture of things, it's no big deal. Right? No big deal. Okay, so you do that action. And then that turns into bigger actions and bigger actions and bigger things, you know. And so we rationalize things away by saying it's no big deal. Now when it comes to serious things, serious moral things, that carries over to, well, it's no big deal. I'm not hurting anybody. Nobody's watching me. No one's going to care. It's no big deal. But what happens when we renew our mind and transform our mind through the Word of God? It's easy to know what the will of God is. It's easy to know that what we think is no big deal is actually a big deal in the eyes of God. Now, you know, I'm not saying, you know, be so concerned and worried if he took a coworker's pen out of his desk. You know, that's, well, maybe that is a big deal. I don't know. It's company policy. I have no idea. But the point is this. Is that it is so easy to determine the will of God if your mind is renewed by His Word. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. As we struggle with one of the primary questions as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, God, what is your will? Should I do this? Should I not do this? If your mind is renewed, you'll be able to discern quite clearly what the will of God is. Should I give to this project? Should I not give to this project? Well, what does the Word of God say? Should I help? Should I serve? Should I get involved in church? Should I do all these things? I'm tired. I lack time. I lack energy. Should I do this? Yes or no? God, what is your will? I truly believe that 90% of all the questions that people ask pastors could be answered if their mind is renewed by God's Word and His Scripture. And so my prayer for us this morning is that as we start our weekend and as we finish our last days at our workplaces this week, is that our minds would be renewed by the Word of God, that we would no longer conform to what is acceptable by the world standards, but that we would be totally transformed. Not incremental changes, but a complete renovation, a complete changing of the way we think, an exchange of our mind for the mind of Christ, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Let's pray together. Father, we want to love you with our heart, soul, and also our mind. God, we criticize those who have brilliant minds, but God, I pray that you would take our mind and that you would change it so that we may have the mind of Christ, that we would take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And God, I pray that our lives would begin to change, that we would see transformation as we fill our mind with your Word and as our thoughts and our attitudes change. God, we just are so amazed as we think about creation, as we think about who you are. You are an amazing God. Father God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for who you are. We bless your name. We bless your name. A scripture that comes to mind is in Psalm. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Would you just invite the Holy Spirit to fill your mind with God's thoughts, with God's heart? Just ask the Lord right now to fill your mind today with His thoughts and His heart. Lord,
draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Let's move to our mission focus and let's pray. Before we do that, let's lift up our church. Let's just lift up just our church family, our SV family that's going through difficult situations, and as a family, I want to lift them up, and so you can pray a general prayer, pray for specific people, but ask the Lord to truly meet the heartaches that people are going through, and let's just lift up our body as God desires. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God. So we just ask that. We pray for those who are struggling, God, whether it be jobs or sickness, Lord, we just ask, Father, that you'd help us, Lord. God, we intercede for them, God. We lift them up. Their spirits up to you, God. Lord, we ask, Father, for your mercy, God. Lord, we just ask, Father, for your mercy for them today, God. Lord, we pray for healing, God. We pray for hope. We pray for restoration. We pray for encouragement, Lord. We pray, Father, Lord, for salvation, for families, God, for brothers and sisters, Lord. We ask, Father, for your blessing over them, God. Lord, we pray for those going through a heartache, God. Lord, we just pray for those who are lost. Lord, we just ask, God, that you would hold our church in your hands, Lord. And God, we just pray, Father, for our desperation and our hunger, God, to see change, Lord. God, we just pray. We want to see you move in this place, Lord. God, we thank you, God.
Let's pray for our local ministries. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong. Let's pray for our local churches. Let's pray for Face to Face and Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let's just pray for the local ministries as we're one body here in Hong Kong. And let's just lift up God. Let's ask God to really move in Hong Kong through our local ministries.
God, we just pray, God, that Hong Kong is a city, God. We know that you have greater things planned for Hong Kong. Lord, we just know that there are greater things that are yet to come. Lord, we pray for our city. We pray for our ministries. We pray for Community Church, for the Divine. Lord, we pray for IDCC. Pastors there. And God, we just pray, God, Lord, for unity amongst churches, God, not competition or division, but God, I know that you've given us our own niche and people, Lord, and we just ask, Father, that you would just begin to bless, Lord. We pray for YWAM, Lord, we just ask that they would raise up more leaders, God. We pray for Pastor's Beauty, God, Face to Face, God. We pray that people would find counseling, God. Lord, we just pray for Christian Solidarity, Lord, for now. Lord, all the work, God, may he begin to expose, God, the evil with him in prayer, Lord. We want to see, God, for injustice, God, to be eradicated, Lord. We just ask, Father, for your blessing, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that for support, financial support, Lord.
Let's pray for our SP Ministries, for our worship team, and let's pray for our hospitality team and our local outreach, and for men's and women's ministries, that God may actually revive those ministries and resurrect those ministries. But let's ask God to really bless our SP Ministries this morning. Pray for our house church, McCain, that's meeting today and also this weekend. If you could lift up a prayer for Kenny and Janie as they're getting married, their first wedding ceremony here at SP. And so let's lift up not only their wedding ceremony, but their marriage. And let's pray for this weekend. We have a lot of people sharing from North Korea, from Cambodia. And so there's a lot going on this weekend. So let's pray for our weekend here at SP. Father, this morning we take time out of our busy day to fix our eyes upon you, to bring ourselves back to a place knowing that you are the giver of life, that you make all things possible, that you've blessed us with the opportunity to be here, to work and to serve. God, every day we wake up, God, and your mercies are new. God, would you have mercy on us today? God, we pray for this weekend, and we ask that as you bring people here, first-time guests, Lord, we pray for divine appointments. We pray for repentance. We pray for salvation. We pray, God, for a touch from your Spirit, God. We thank you for this day, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.